May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 455. Once more we come before our God, once more his blessing ask. Oh, may not duty seem a load, nor worship prove a task. Hymn 455.
Thank you. Let us read from God's holy word. We will read from part of Acts 15 and most of Acts chapter 16. The Acts of the Apostles chapter 15, and we'll begin at verse 35. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 15, and beginning at verse 35. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord, with many others also. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city, where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them, that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark, and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas, and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there, named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren which were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Nay, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavoured to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we are in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. They came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. and he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and every one's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. There we will leave the reading of God's holy word, and may the Lord help us now in prayer. O Lord, almighty and most gracious God, we do pray for thine almighty help now. We do thank thee that thou hast brought us here in peace and safety. Now, Lord, may we come with a true desire to worship thee, O Lord, that we may come seeking mercy in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, seeking that thou mightest reveal to us thy holy will. Our eyes may be opened to see by faith the preciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, do grant us that light in our darkness. We may indeed have that heavenly vision, that clear view of the work of salvation in Christ Jesus. O Lord, that we may not be left to our own natural eyes to see all the things around us, the things that are vain, that will pass away. O Lord, grant us that faith that we may know that one day we must give an account before thy judgment seat, O Lord. That one day we must die. O Lord, may we have that true sense of solemnity and reverence in thy sight. That thou mightest reveal to us that we are poor sinners. And O Lord, if we already have that revealed unto our souls, or may there be that revelation of the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, help us, we pray. For, O Lord, we are vile, we are wretched, undone. Whether we know it or whether we do not, and O Lord, if there be any here that do not know the vileness of their heart, may it be revealed to them. They may see and understand that they are condemned under the law of the holy law of God. So, Lord, if we know that wretchedness of our heart, O Lord, draw us that we may come unto thee, that we may be cleansed, that we may be washed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That, O Lord, we may be granted that life. From thou, O Lord Jesus, who art the resurrection, the life, O Lord, quicken us into newness of life. Grant that revelation of mercy and salvation in Christ Jesus. And, O Lord, what a favour it is. How we should praise thee, yet we come far short. But, oh, how we should praise thee, that if we have known that preciousness and mercy in Christ Jesus, that thou hast granted us that token and sign that our sins are forgiven, that we have that glorious prospect of eternal life, heaven with thee, O Lord Jesus. Oh, how we should praise thee. Oh, may we praise thee. To praise thee with the understanding. To praise thee in the spirit. And, O Lord, may we be helped now in the singing of thy praises, in all the worship of thy holy name. And, O Lord, especially help as we come to thy word, the ministry of thy word. O Lord, that thou wouldst open up the scriptures to our understanding. Thou hast touched my lips with a live coal from off thine heavenly altar, that I may speak that which is right, not that which is crooked. O Lord, do grant us help. Help to understand thy word, to believe thy word. O, how need that precious gift of faith and repentance. O, that Holy Spirit of truth, come down. Do not leave us, we pray, to a vain form of religion, week by week coming to thy house, talking with our friends, meeting with those who we know, but we know not thee. O Lord, do grant us that desire, that earnest desire that we may meet with thee, that we may know thee, whom to know is life eternal. That we may hear thy voice, that we may speak unto thee in prayer. And, O Lord, we pray for the friends gathered here. O Lord, we pray that thou wouldst help them. O Lord, we are so ignorant of their condition. But, O Lord, thou knowest the hearts of every one of us. O Lord, thou knowest. O Lord, direct us in the worship and the ministry of the word to speak that which will be a blessing unto their souls. There may be that word of reproof, encouragement, correction, exhortation, as thou dost see fit. O Lord, we do pray for thy help. O Lord, we would pray for any that are unable to meet in thy house, through illness, through frailty, through sickness, or in hospital, or whether in their own home. We do pray that thou might visit them in their souls. Grant them thy sweet favour and blessing, we pray. And any that are caring for those that are sick, likewise, do visit them. O Lord, may they know thy sweet presence, though they are not able to be in thy house. O Lord, we would pray for our friends, the deacons here, that thou would strengthen them and uphold them in their burden, their responsibility. Oh, we do pray for a godly increase here. O Lord, we would pray for the children and young people, that thou wouldst guide them in the way. Thou wouldst teach them in the way that they should go. Thou wouldst keep them from all evil. So, Lord, lead them unto that precious faith in Christ Jesus. Direct them in their ways. Guide them in the way of life. And, O Lord, those of us who are parents, oh, for that wisdom to bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of thy holy name. Oh, how impotent we feel to be, yet there is the throne of grace. And, O Lord, we do pray for our children that they may be taught of thee. Lord, we do pray in our churches for thy blessing, that the word may come once more with the power of the Spirit, as thou didst in former generations. Lord, we do pray that thou hast looking mercy upon us, that the preaching of the word may come powerfully, may touch the hearts and lives of those that hear. Thy servants that preach this day may be clothed with power, may be, have that fresh anointing of the Spirit to preach the word with life. O Lord, do deliver us from a dead word, but O Lord, may it be a living ministry in our midst. We would pray for thy servants who are aged and infirm, some unable to preach through affliction, others labouring in weakness. We do pray for them, that they may be upheld and blessed, that the word may come as a still small voice, as thou didst speak to Elijah on Mount Sinai, as they in their weakness speak unto the people. We do pray that thou wouldst clothe that word with power, that it may be as thy word. May we know that even here this day. We do pray that thou wouldst raise up more ministers to preach thy word in the churches. Raise up pastors in the churches, we pray. O Lord, we do pray for thy goodness may be known in our midst, that we have grieved thee, we have come so far short. We have such a godly heritage before us, yea, we have thy word before us, but how often we have turned our back upon it. Gone after the world, gone after pride, gone after Phariseeism. But, O Lord, we do pray for thine appearing in the churches and in our nation. Look in mercy, we pray. O Lord, do turn us again. Do raise up godly men and women in places of authority in the Parliament. For those that know thee not in authority may be brought to seek thee, to seek thy word, to seek, to pray unto thee for wisdom, that thou mightest yet deliver us. But we can only plead thy name, O Lord Jesus, for our deserved end is utter destruction. O Lord, we do pray that thou mightest show mercy, that thy word may yet go forth in this land to thine honour and glory. O Lord, we do beg now for help. Thou mightest guide us into all truth, to the honour and glory of thy name. We ask the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hymn 407. Dear Lord, my panting soul in flame, to spread abroad thy matchless fame, and with a solemn pleasure tell the grace which saves from death and hell. Hymn 407.
Thank you.
May the Lord help us to consider this morning Acts chapter 16. Now desire to speak from verses 9 and 10, but also that context in the preceding verses and the end of chapter 15. So let us read Acts 16 and verses 9 and 10. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavoured to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. We read of another appearance, miraculous appearance of the Lord later when Paul was in Philippi, when he was in the night time with Silas, beaten, imprisoned. But in both of these cases it was night and the Lord appeared to them. The Lord guided them, the Lord delivered them. And it is a great mercy that the Lord appears to his people in the night, when it's dark. It might be the literal night time, or it may be a time when we're so dark in our minds that we do not know which way to turn, what to do, how to go on. For the Lord Jesus Christ is the light of the world, the light of life. As we read in Luke chapter 2, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. May we be encouraged if we are in the dark. We do not know which way to turn. May we be encouraged. May we be exhorted to look unto Jesus, to pray unto him. But let us consider, if the Lord will, the context. How was it that Paul and Silas came to be at this place, on the threshold of crossing over into Macedonia? How did they come to be there? Well, let us turn to Acts 15 and verse 35, that Paul and Barnabas, they continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, "Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do." Despite the dangers, despite the sacrifice, despite the persecution that Paul had known, as he'd gone forth preaching the word before, yet he desired to go forth again. Why? As we sang in our second hymn about the burning desire, the glory of God in Christ Jesus. "Dear Lord, my panting soul inflame to spread abroad thy matchless fame, and with a solemn pleasure tell the grace that which saves from death and hell." It was that knowledge of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that inflamed Paul's heart to go forth. And is there that flame in your heart? Or are we only going forth to come to the house of God and sit in a pew and sing the hymns and go home again? Is there any grace known and felt in our lives? Do we know the Lord Jesus Christ? Paul was so much wrought upon by the power of God, the love of God burnt in his heart, that he had that concern that the word should go forth, that the word may go forth as a light in dark places. As he had been a partaker of the love of God in Christ Jesus, one who had been in such darkness himself. How he desired, and it was a holy desire, not a vain one, it was a holy desire, that others might know of Christ. We see that this church at Antioch. They sent forth Paul and Barnabas on that first missionary journey. They were concerned, burdened by the Spirit moving amongst them, that there should be that sending forth of those to preach the everlasting gospel, to bring forth by the grace of God, through the Spirit, the light of the gospel into dark places. And one has observed, where there is no desire in a church, or very little desire in a church, that the word should go forth? Is it not that there has been very little knowledge of Christ in those that are in the church, whether in the church or the congregation? If we truly know him and his love, his mercy, if we truly know the power of his precious blood to save, that resurrection life, should there not be those holy desires to go forth, to speak, whether we be sent as a minister or as an individual, to give that testimony of so great a salvation? Or are we utterly ignorant of it? Know nothing but the tradition of the chapel, nothing more than a family upbringing. Well, a church at Antioch, and Paul, there was that burden. Now Paul, we read, was very careful who he took with him. Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. John Mark was one who had turned back. Although we read many years later, Paul speaks of him as one who was useful for the ministry, but at that time he was one that had turned back. In the time of persecution, he had turned back and forsaken the calling, forsaken the work of God. And Paul would not take him. Let us consider whether there's a lesson for you or I here. Who are we going forth with in the pathway of life? Are you careful about who you keep company? The word says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That refers to friendships, to seeking a partner, a wife or a husband in life. How careful are you? Is there that holy desire that those whom you go with are those who are one in mind with you? In the Lord, not in the world, in the Lord. Is there that desire that there be that union in spirit? Is that the desire above all else to walk together in Christ Jesus? To follow him, to give that testimony to his holy name? Paul would not have one with him that would turn back in the day of trial. One who had shown himself by his desertion of the work. He would not take him with him. Nor may there be that desire. We speak particularly to your younger friends. It is good to pray, to be guided rightly concerning marriage. For those friends and associates that you have, but may there be those that you can walk with in spiritual things, in the way of God, in the way of Christ and the gospel. For we read in our text, in verse 10, after that he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavoured. It refers to Luke, the writer of the Acts of the Apostles, the inspired writer, who was also there. Immediately we, there was union. It was Paul that had had the vision. The Lord had revealed it to him, but there was that union between those disciples and Paul, those that were travelling with him. Immediately we. How glorifying to God it was and is. It is recorded in Scripture for our admonition, for our instruction. And how glorifying to God it is when in a family, husband and wife, brothers and sisters, there's that united desire to follow the Lord together. Immediately we, there was no division there. Why? Because each one was walking with Christ, in fellowship with him. That brings us to a point. What does fellowship mean? Is there real fellowship? You'll go around and hear the word fellowship. Places of worship will put on the name, the title of their church, a fellowship. But is there real fellowship? It's important that we know this. Vital that we know it. We turn to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. There we have definition from the scriptures of what fellowship is, what real fellowship is. And these disciples and the apostle Paul, they were walking in that fellowship. John 1:6-7. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Are you walking in the light? Is the fellowship one with another? It must come from that fellowship with Christ, walking with him. As if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Unless there's that personal knowledge of Christ, that personal walking with him, that personal knowledge of the precious blood of Christ. As each one personally knows Christ, savingly knows Christ, then there will be fellowship. If each one knows the work of the Spirit within, is guided by God the Holy Spirit, knows the Saviour, then there will be unity. We see that blessed gospel unity here immediately. Immediately we endeavoured to go into Macedonia. Many churches try to engineer fellowship, entertainment, social clubs, all manner of things. But it's not the fellowship that comes from God the Holy Spirit in Christ Jesus. Oh, how important, vital it is that each one of us seek that personal walk with Christ, that we might know that fellowship as we gather together for worship, as we praise his holy name. Oh, what power there is. Well, not many months ago, I was asked to preach for a Sovereign Grace Union meeting over in East Anglia. And many of the people I didn't know at all. I'd never been to preach at the particular place that was hired for the occasion. A few there I knew and loved in the faith. I knew them. But most I did not. But one thing I did know, there was fellowship there. In a way that one could sense, there was the Lord's special presence there. There was that seeking of the truth, that seeking of the Lord from, we cannot judge everyone, but of that assembly there, it was so marked by that sincere, holy desire to know the truth and to worship Him to the honour and glory of God, such as we've scarcely often felt in such a way. It almost seemed difficult to close the service. And the chairman, who was a minister from Suffolk, it almost seemed a difficult thing to discontinue the service for the break for refreshment. We've once or twice seen this and known it. But it's a token of that everlasting worship that the Lord's people will know in heaven. We sometimes know it here below. A desire that the worship should not end. There was fellowship. There was a desire, a united desire amongst the people there to serve the Lord. Knowing that they are, each one of us was unworthy, but the desire, holy desire, for the new man of grace to serve the Lord. Oh, that it was so more often. Oh, that I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day in such a manner more often. Alas, so often we're slow. We're not seeking the Lord. Here, Paul, he went forth with Silas. He went forth from Antioch with the recommendation of the church and the brethren. Here's another important, vital lesson. If we are to go forth in any path, how needful it is that it is done according to order. God is a God of order. God is sovereign, creator. All things were created in order. The covenant of grace is ordered in all things and sure. Thus it behoves us in the church that all things be done in order. God is not the God of confusion, but of peace. There Paul went forth with a recommendation, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Now Paul knew the way that he should go forth to those churches that he had preached to. But after that he knew not the way. But he went forth in faith, walking by faith. So often the Lord calls his people to that. They may have before them that which they're burdened over in the Spirit, that which they go forth in. Like Paul, he went to visit those churches again. But after that he knew not, but he knew this, that it would be well with the righteous. That the Lord would guide him. It is the walk of faith. He could not plan out his missionary journey as to where he would go and when he would go, when he would come back. He knew not, but this he knew, it was well. Going forth in the Lord's command. I am with you always, even unto the end. The Lord has promised his church. And he being in the way of faith, in the way of obedience. The Lord appeared to him, but first it was tried. We do not read of any particular opposition up until this time, but then we read Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Now was a time of trial. Seems most strange, does it not, that the Spirit should forbid them to preach the word? But it is recorded here in Scripture. Why? It is not that they should neglect the preaching of the gospel, but it is there for our instruction that it is the sovereignty of God. God is above all. It is God that giveth the increase. If there is to be any blessing upon the preaching of the word, upon the reading of the word, upon us gathering together, it must be God. To God be the glory. We're forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. The Lord's time had not come to preach the word there. Paul did preach the word in Asia and saw the fruits. And others did. But the time had not come. And after they had come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia. But the Spirit suffered them not. Again, that door was closed. Not by man, but by God. Bithynia. We do not read that Paul ever went to Bithynia. It was another man's place of labour in the Lord's sovereignty. We read of Peter writing to the strangers scattered abroad in Pontus and Bithynia. And in history it's recorded that one of the leading Roman authors and historians complained within only 50 years of this of the number of Christians in Bithynia. It's another man's labour. But we read here that the Apostle Paul pressed on in submission to the Lord closing those doors. Now there is a lesson for you and I. Where the Lord closes a door because it is not the Lord's time, or because it is another man or woman's labour. Or may we be submissive and yet wait on God's hand, to wait on God's time and God's way, and the Lord truly will open the way. Paul wasn't left here at Troas in the dark. For long, the Lord came to him, the Lord was merciful. These things are written for our encouragement and our instruction. We read somewhere in scriptures, our mind is not good to remember where, but we read in one place, I being in the way. And the Apostle Paul was in the way of obedience, the way of submission. Directed by God the Holy Spirit, his heart burning within him to tell of the blessings he had received in Christ Jesus. The Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful as promised. His word shall not return unto him void. He shall accomplish all that he purposes. The Lord's ways are so much higher than our ways. His thoughts so much higher than our thoughts. Paul evidently was thinking of Bithynia and Asia. But the Lord made it plain to him that he was to press on elsewhere. It was a walk of faith. Not to go to an expected place, but to somewhere which the Lord assuredly had prepared, but as yet he knew not. Is that where you are? And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. The Lord is faithful to reveal to his people the way that they should take. Now the Apostle Paul was given that vision of a man of Macedonia that prayed him, besought him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. That vision didn't say anything concerning the persecutions and afflictions that Paul should suffer in Macedonia. As I look back myself at the way the Lord has led me, and even in the last few years in the ministry, it is well that the Lord did not reveal all the difficulties, trials, afflictions, persecutions that would arise. Otherwise, I know I should have gone in exactly the opposite direction, been like John Mark, and departed from the work. The Lord is most gracious not to reveal. But Paul knew this, they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The Lord had shown unto him when he was first converted at Damascus of the things that he must suffer for the testimony of Christ. This knowing that bonds and afflictions abide me, but the word of God is not bound. And so I cannot promise the calling of God is to a smooth way, an easy way. There are churches that seek to fill their pews that way by promising us a life of success and health, of ease, comforts in this life, joy and all manner of entertainment, happiness. Somehow to have the world as well as a hope in Christ Jesus as well. To serve God and mammon. To build both on the rock and the sand. But before Paul had the persecutions, he had the vision. Before Paul was persecuted at Damascus, the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to him and spoke with him, brought him to repentance and to precious faith in his name, and the deliverance from his sins, forgiveness, and a true joy and peace in believing that he would never have known, never did know as a Pharisee. And here again, before entering into the pathway, the unknown way, into the pathway of affliction and persecution, there was that vision. In the night time, the Lord appeared to him. The Lord is very gracious so to do, to give that token of his good hand to be upon us, to lead us in the way. But this we know, that bonds and afflictions abide. Cannot escape them, cannot run away from them, but the Lord is above them all. Like the bonds in the prison in Philippi, when the Lord shook the earth, they fell away, the doors opened, and so did the heart of the jailer. And whilst the night began with Paul and Silas being beaten, thrust into, no doubt, some filthy, vile inner cell, no light, to be chained to one place, yet there they prayed and they sang praises unto God. Again, their hearts were filled with the love of God, to praise God. How would we be if we found ourselves there? Would the first words be one of complaint or murmuring? Or would we praise God from whom all blessings flow? And such that the others heard, the other prisoners heard. How perplexed they must have been to hear singing praises. They might have been used to hearing the groans and the cries. But prayer and praise in such a dark place, in such a place of pain and affliction, what glory was brought unto God? what testimony there was to the goodness of God, the faith wrought by God the Holy Spirit, that in such a dark and evil place, there that Paul and Silas should praise God from their heart. And the Lord appeared. And by the end of the night, he was baptizing the jailer and his family. Oh, how the Lord appears for his people. The devil may persuade you that there's nothing but destruction in the time of darkness. But like the disciples on the lake, when they were constrained to go across the lake and it was night and the wind was contrary, the Lord came unto them walking on the water. Nothing was impossible for him. It seemed quite impossible that Paul and Silas could have got out of that jail that night. They had no strength in themselves. They had no light with them. We've got no strength to deliver ourselves. We've got no light of ourselves. But the Lord, who is the light of the world, he grants that vision, that light in our darkness. He is all powerful to make a way, to break the bonds asunder, to deliver us into light. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Now we also consider Ananias at Damascus. He was the disciple whom the Lord appeared to in a vision and called him to go to that street called Straight. Now we read of that in Acts chapter 9. And what was it that Ananias said unto the Lord? To something that you and I should say. And I wonder if it is that we are saying that, or are we seeking to resist the Lord? There came, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, called him by name. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. There was that readiness to hear what the Lord should say. Behold, I am here, Lord. Is that your prayer? Is that what you've come to the house of God for? Behold, I am here, Lord. Like Cornelius, gather together those that were with him who are also seeking to know the Lord. We're all here gathered together. We read that concerning Peter. He'd had a vision that he should go, that he should go unto the, speak unto the Gentiles, though he understood not that vision at the first. Well, Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee, arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I've sent them. And the Lord made it plain, he should go with them. And Cornelius said, now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. There is that readiness to hear. The Lord will not mock his people. He will never mock those that come seeking him. But those are desiring to hear his word and to do it. Behold, I am here, Lord. Is that your prayer? Or is it your thought, I'm here and I wish I was not? Is the welcome sound the amen at the end of the service? Yes, I'm here and I wish I was not here. Oh, that we may be delivered from such a vile spirit. We may be kept from backsliding into it, like those that we read of in the book of Revelation. They'd forsaken their first love. How solemn it is when we have known and tasted that the Lord is gracious, come to the house of God with a spirit of carnal weariness, only waiting for the service to end so that we may get on with some other business that's troubling us. How much better it would be if we should come to the house of God with this spirit, "Behold, I am here, Lord." That holy expectation that the Lord would speak. That waiting for the Lord to speak. We see this with these brethren at Troas. There they were waiting for the Lord to appear. They knew that the Lord had called them to the work. The Lord had closed doors. Yet they were pressing on and they were waiting. The Lord is faithful. If you're in such a place, the Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful to answer prayer. He does not mock his people. After he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavoured to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Well, Ananias, let us go back to Ananias. The Lord said unto him, "Arise." Yeah, that word of power, arise. It is by the resurrection power of Christ, who is the resurrection and the life. By his word, we are given that strength to arise and do that which in the carnal heart we would not do, that which we'd run away from. When the Lord says arise to a path of affliction and tribulation, to a calling which is beyond our ability, the Lord gives that strength. Arise. Go into the street which is called Straight. Now why should the scriptures include such detail? Well, there is not one word in scripture that is unnecessary. Not one word is missing that should be there. All scripture is inspired of God. The street called Straight. Not crooked, but straight. And here in these few verses we have in type set forth the calling of God. Ananias saying to the Lord, "Behold, I am here, Lord." Like Samuel, who was taught to say as a child by Eli, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." "Behold, I am here, Lord." And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the street which is called Straight." Lord, that we may, by God's grace, make straight our paths, looking unto Jesus, not turning to one side nor to the other, but that straight path, with our eyes upon Christ and his way. It was not an easy calling, this of Ananias, for he was to go to one who had come to Damascus with authority to take such as Ananias away to be possibly tortured, killed, or imprisoned. Yet there Ananias was called to go to him. But he went in faith. "Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth." Well, when the Apostle Paul came to Philippi, he went to that place where the women gathered, that place where prayer was wont to be made. There he went where prayer was, to bring forth, to preach the gospel. And do you pray concerning the preaching of the word, that you may hear? I'm speaking here to everyone, whether the youngest or the oldest, whether there's any prayer from the heart. The poor, as the word also means, the meek, the humble, the contrite, the repentant, have the gospel preached unto them. Well, in that outward sense, the gospel is to be preached to every creature. But in the sense of that special preaching, that applying of the word by the Holy Spirit, just to the poor have the gospel preached unto them, the meek. We read that those who are gathered where prayer was wont to be made, and we know this, that Lydia truly must have been praying, and the Lord answered those prayers. Do you pray before coming to the house of God? As I've observed in other places, and said it from the pulpit, and I'll say it from here. And if I've said it before, I know not at this place, but I'll say it again. How many of you come to the prayer meeting? The Lord knows if there are those matters that detain us from coming. The Lord knows a genuine reason for not being at the service, and the Lord knows whether there is not a genuine reason. Are you at the place where prayer is wont to be made? And that was where the gospel was preached unto them. We've observed it in many places, even in our own church at home, and in taking the midweek service in our pastor's absence, we made the point from the pulpit on Wednesday. When it's a preaching service alternating with a prayer meeting, there's always more people when it's the preaching service, although it's the same day of the week. We can't quite believe that everybody's circumstances change week after week. Different one week, and then a week later, one week they can get to the service and one week they can't, alternating week after week. Is it not a despising of the prayer meeting? Oh, that we may have faith. Faith to believe that the Lord answers prayer. Faith to believe that it is vital that we pray. Faith to believe that the Lord will honour the praying people that have come and gathered in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, humbly seeking Him, that the Lord will honour. The Lord will appear, the blessings of the gospel, the grace to preach the gospel unto them, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Perhaps you come to the house of God and you feel there was nothing for us, nothing for me. Well, the Lord does try his people, but ask this question, is it because you never found at the prayer meeting? There's no prayer, earnest prayer before the service. The Lord is faithful, faithful to his word. To them that pray unto him, that seek him, they that seek shall find. Oh, may this be a burden on our spirit, a burden of prayer. We may be a people of prayer. We read elsewhere in the Acts of the Apostles concerning they were all gathered together in one place and with one accord. We read that in Pentecost, the Spirit came upon them. Later we read that they were in one place and they called on the name of the Holy Child Jesus there in that united prayer. And the place was shaken. There was power. Or may we take note of these things. More so, may God the Holy Spirit work mightily in our hearts that we must pray. For the prayer meeting above all we must go to. There'll be that holy desire to be there, whether we're called to speak in public or not. But Hannah came to the house of the Lord with her burden, in her trouble. She didn't utter anything with a voice, but her heart prayed. She prayed from the heart, and the Lord heard. And there is a blessed principle, that the Lord hears the prayers that come from the heart, whether they be uttered by one of the brethren that speak in prayer audibly. If it's spoken audibly and hasn't come from the heart, it will not, and not indicted of the Spirit, it will not be regarded by the Lord. But one who's come to the prayer meeting and is praying in the heart unto the Lord will regard. The same Lord that appeared for the Apostle Paul and Silas and Luke, that appeared for Hannah, the same Lord is among us by the Spirit today. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today and forever. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Though we be vile, though we be wretched, though we be utterly condemned under the law, yet the Lord has mercy upon the poor and the ignorant, the vile, the unclean, the lepers, the out of the way, those that are benighted like blind Bartimaeus, the Lord passed by, and the Lord called. May it be our holy desire to seek the Lord, and the Lord is faithful to answer. And if we are ventured forth in the Lord's calling, and now we know not the way to take, the Lord will show, the Lord will reveal, the Lord will direct. Or may we pray that prayer like the apostles. They came to Jesus and said, Lord, increase our faith. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £570, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Dr. Sadler will address the Sunday School this afternoon and administer the Lord's Supper after this evening's service. I'm sorry to tell you that Mr. John Rosier is ill and will not be able to come tomorrow evening, but we still hope to have a service. God willing, next Lord's Day there will be a reading service in the morning, and Mr. Adrian Pickett is expected to preach in the evening. Let us close with hymn 321. My soul, Lord, inflame with zeal from above, thy praise to proclaim and sing of thy love. To lift up my voice in thanksgiving sincere, this truth to rejoice in, the Lord will appear. Hymn 321.
And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and evermore. Amen.